Let's get right into the Bible today. And so if you would take your Bible and turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. And as I am able to preach here, that's as far as the Lord leads, I'm going to plan to preach through the book of 1 Thessalonians. So when you find that, go ahead and stand. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. And if you don't know, the reason we stand is because we just want to give honor to the Word of God tonight. You know, not a lot of people have the privilege we have to have the Word of God opened and explained. And so we like to give honor that way. If we're unable to stand, of course, we understand that. We'll be in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. We'll be in verse number 13. Now, it's a little tiny book. You see any book that starts with a T, you're right there. Just keep looking real close. It's way after the Gospels, okay? Toward the end. Maybe someone can help him out. He's really struggling. He's going to hurt himself. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, we'll be in verse number 13. Paul says this, For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. Verse 14, for ye, brethren, became followers of the churches of God, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus, for ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews, who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets, and have persecuted us, and they please not God, and are contrary to all men, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles, that they might be saved, to fill up their sins alway. For the wrath is come upon them to the uttermost. So tonight, we're going to preach a message titled this, The Proof of the Christian is in the Persecution. The proof of the Christian is in the persecution. That will make sense in just a little bit. Let's pray, and we'll get into the message tonight. God, thank you so much for your word. God, thank you for this great church that you've allowed us to be a part of. Thank you, God, for the faithfulness of our pastor and his family. And Lord, for the great men and women of this church, pray that you bless them, that you work, and I pray that you continue to help and bless our church. And Lord, even now we stop and ask for your help in revival, that you'd be a Brother Jed as he comes. But tonight, God, we pray for this message. We pray for, Lord, your help as we deliver your word to your people tonight. In Christ's name I pray, amen. You may be seated. The proof of the Christian is in the persecution. Have you ever heard the idiom, the proof is in the pudding? You ever heard that before? Have you ever started to say that phrase and stopped mid-pudding? Like, wait, how does pudding have proof in it? Have you ever thought about that? The proof is in the pudding, okay? So like, can a pudding eater find some sort of evidence in his or her serving of pudding that testifies to the character of something else other than the pudding? Are you following me? The proof is in the pudding. What does that even mean? I looked it up because I was curious. Because I was like, this is part of the message, and this is really important. So the phrase is actually a mishearing of the real phrase, which is this. The proof of the pudding is in the eating. Does this make a lot more sense now? Okay. The proof, this is the real phrase. So for ignorant people who say proof is in the pudding, correct them, okay, and be all rude about it. But this is what it actually is. The proof of the pudding is in the eating. Okay? Now, what does that mean? Well, the idea is that the real worth, success, or effectiveness of something can only be determined by putting it to the test or trying to use it. No matter how good it looks on the outside, no matter how much the cook promises it's really good, the only way to know if a pudding is good is if you eat it. You see? The proof of the pudding is in the eating, not in how it looks and not in what the cook thinks about it. Okay? And by the way, the same is true with Christianity. There are a lot of Christians who look good on the outside. And there are a lot of Christians who promise you things and say things about themselves to build them up as a godly Christian. But the proof of the Christian is only revealed when they're put to the test. You see? Yeah. There's no way for me or for Pastor or anybody else to know if you're real or not tonight. There's no way for us to really know if you love the Lord, if you love the Word of God, if you're really as excited as you put off here at church. We're not trying to figure it out, but what I'm telling you is we can't know that. We can't know. All we can know is what you show us. We're not going to eat you, okay? And we can only see the pudding. And if it looks good, it looks good. That's all we know, you see? The only way to know if you're truly faithful to the Word of God is by how you do when it is practiced, when it is tested, when it is proved, when your belief in God is truly put to the test. One man said, I wish I knew who said it, but I don't, but one man said, the greatest proof of Christianity for others is not how far a man can logically analyze his reasons for believing, but how far in practice he will stake his life on his belief. I'm going to say that again. That's really helpful. The greatest proof of Christianity for others is not how far a man can logically analyze his reasons for believing, but how far in practice he will stake his life on his belief. Well, Paul here was thankful for the Thessalonian church because they were faithful to the Word of God. In the verses just before our text, Paul was recounting the message he brought to them. Paul planted this church, and he was writing back to the church that he had planted. And when he was there, he preached the Word of God to them. And there were accusations of the message that he gave. There were accusations that Paul was just another one of those traveling preachers, traveling teachers who were notorious for just being interested in winning friends and making money. And that's all he cared about. And there were accusations about that. And so Paul reminded them that he preached to please God and not men. And he was reminding them. That's the verses just before this. Paul reminded them that he was willing to preach his message, even though it brought really bad persecution. And we're not going to rehash that today, but Paul was persecuted for what he preached. And the town did not like him, the citizens did not like him, the government did not like him because of his message, but he kept preaching the message. Instead of responding to the persecution with maybe a less offensive message, or simply just a quick exit, what Paul did is he stayed in town and he preached the Word of God, even though it brought persecution. The reason he said that is he wouldn't have done that if all he cared about was popularity and money. If all he cared about was popularity and money, he'd be gone fast, because he got neither. Everyone hated him, and he worked for his living there in Thessalonica. And so he was reminding them of that. So in a sense, you can say that the proof of his preaching was in the persecution. You can say that. The reason you know his preaching was real and genuine is because he was willing to suffer the persecution and preach the Word of God anyway, and that means he believed it. That means he believed it. And so Paul was thankful that the same thing could be said about how the Thessalonian church received the preaching. Okay, so just previous to these verses, he was telling them that he was defending his preaching and that his preaching was genuine, but now what he's doing is he's thankful that the church received the preaching. And they genuinely received the preaching. They received the Word of God. They truly did. The proof of the Thessalonican Christians was in the persecution. It was the same as Paul, that Paul was willing to preach and be persecuted, but these people, they were able to withstand the persecution of those around them, and they were able to still stay faithful to the Word of God. And by this point in the letter, that's no secret. And I want to say this evening, I want to say this, that we're probably not going to face persecution, but there are going to come times in your life where it is going to be hard to live for God. Whether that means to the government or from our citizens not liking us or not, I'm just telling you, in your personal life, there are going to come times when it's going to be difficult to live for God. There are going to be times where you're going to have to sacrifice your comfort to live for God. There are going to be times where you're going to have to sacrifice some friendships to live for God. There are going to be times where you're going to have to sacrifice family members. Not in a weird pagan sacrifice family members. I didn't think about that before I said it. But I'm saying that relationships with your family, how's that? You might have to sacrifice that. Or at least make it to where it's not as good as it was. Because why? Well, when you take a stand for God, if those that don't believe in God and those that are not excited about living for God, they're not going to understand what you're doing, and there's a chance they're going to be upset about it. You might have to make some stands with your family that, hey, in this house, we're not doing this. And you're going to have to stand for God. And when that happens, they're going to get upset. You know what's going to happen? You're going to be tempted to say, oh, never mind. Do what you want. Say that around my kids. It's not a big deal. Well, go ahead and bring that into my house. It's not a big deal. You know why? Because I don't want to face the problems. I don't want to face the persecution. I don't want to face the trial that comes with this. And so, listen, what I'm telling you is, if you really believe the word of God, it's going to show up when it's hard to live for Him. That's when it's going to show up. Yeah. And the Thessalonian church, it was proof. Their love, their loyalty, their belief in the word of God was proven, because when they were persecuted, they stuck it out. Just listening to Paul, who the town hated, made it to where people in their society hated them. I'll remind you of this, that Thessalonica was what we called a religiously pluralistic society. That means that they believed in a lot of gods, and they all believed in all the gods. And so for them to deny all of those fake gods and live only for the true and living God brought broken relationships. Their family rejected them. Their friends rejected them. A lot of society they were not able to be a part of. And a lot of them were even facing prison and maybe even threats of death. And you know what they did? They continued to serve God, and they loved the word of God. They were faithful. And that's awesome. That's awesome. So the question is not whether they were faithful, but the question is, how did they do it? The question we're dealing with tonight is, how did these Christians, how were they able to withstand the persecution? How were they able to stick with God even when things got difficult? How did they do it? Well, I don't normally do the one-word outline thing, but it just worked out for this message, and so I'm going to give you the whole thing right here, okay? And then we can just pray and we'll be done. And I'm just kidding. That's not going to happen. But here it is. Here is how that you... Because we're talking about Thessalonica believers, but they're long gone. They're in heaven. What is it for us? And here's the thing. If you want to be faithful to the Word of God, and when something hard happens, you're able to withstand. And by the way, it's not just persecution, but bad things can happen. And someone can pass and you don't understand, and people get upset at God. Just in general, bad things can happen, and people are gone. There are people that aren't in this building right now because something happened. And they lost faith. And I want you to be able to say, when a hard time comes, how do you stick it out? Here it is. There's three things. Hear it, accept it, believe it. Hear it, accept it, believe it. We're talking about the Word of God tonight. So the first thing that Paul was thankful for about the Church of Thessalonica is that they heard the preaching of the word. Look in verse 13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God which ye heard of us. Pause right there. Ye received the word of God, which is after that, which ye heard of us. And so that word received right there has this connotation of just like receiving instruction. Okay, so it's literally just being in the building. When church was happening, they were there. They were there. When the word of God was preached, the church was excited about that. The church wanted to be under the preaching. They wanted to receive it. They wanted to hear it. They wanted to be under the preaching when it was happening. And I want to say that was a big deal for that church. Because them coming to the meeting, if they just came to the meeting, the town hated Paul so much, if they just came to the meeting, if they just came to church, they were risking ridicule, and they were risking a lot of pain, a lot of relationship problems if they just came. So this was a big deal that Paul said, look, the first thing you did that was awesome is you were here. Oh, well, he wasn't there, but you know what I mean. They were under the word. That he was preaching, they showed up. And here's the thing, the first step to be the Christian that God wants you to be at church. It's that easy. You have to hear the preaching. You have to. And we're not really talking about just reading the Word of God on their own. They could have done that too, but they wanted to be at the church listening to Paul deliver the Word of God. And that's what Valley Avenue Baptist Church is all about, by the way. If we have a church service, you're going to hear preaching, and we need the preaching. We need to be here anytime the doors are open. We need to hear the preaching of the Word of God. We need it. This is the first step. Listen, if you can just come every once in a while if you want to, but I'm talking about if you want to be the Christian God wants you to be, and if you want to be able to withstand the trials in your life and still have a walk with God afterwards, the first step is this. You got to be at church. If someone's unfaithful to church and a bad thing happens, it's just been proven out that eventually they're gone. Because we need it. Not because they're by themselves a bad person and no one else, they're just not strong. No, it's because we need it. They need the preaching. You need the preaching. And don't deceive yourself to say, well, I'll just show up every once in a while and I'll be fine. It's not the truth. Don't just deceive yourself and say, I can just stay home and read my Bible myself. It's not true. Christians need to be at church. This is the first step. They need it. And that's not always easy, is it? At times you're going to have to deny some things. You're going to have to deny some comforts along the way to be at church. You're going to have to deny certain TV shows. And I know that sounds like, that's pretty petty. Well, it is, but it's true. A lot of people won't come because they can't deny the TV show. I'm telling you, these guys denied their very lives to be at church. And they were blessed for it. And we need to be willing to deny some things to be at church. And I'm telling you, when you make the decision to be at church, it is amazing how the devil decides to put some things right in that time slot. And I'm telling you that to be faithful to God, the first thing is to be faithful to church. And it's going to be hard. It's going to be hard. The devil doesn't like that. Your flesh won't like it. But it is the first step. I'm talking about if you want to be the Christian God wants you to be, it's the first step. You might have to rearrange your schedule. You might have to not go to some things. Because the first step is this. Love preaching. Be under it whenever you can. And I'm telling you, the revival's coming up. And there's a lot of preaching. And some people hear that, and they're like, man, so many services. This is ridiculous. Well, hopefully you're like, yeah, so many services. I'm pumped about it. And you should be. Honest, genuinely, you should be pumped about it because we need preaching. We need it. We need it. Yeah. Yeah. So that's the first step. Hear it. Hear the Word of God. You need to hear it. Number two is accept it. Paul was thankful that the church at Thessalonica accepted the preaching as from God and not from them. Look again at verse 13. There in the middle, where he says, because when ye received the word of God, which you heard of us, here's what he says. You received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God. So we said that first word receiving, where it says, when ye received. That first word just means literally just being there and hearing it. It's actually, this word received, look in verse 13. There's two different received. When ye received the word of God, which ye heard, ye received it not as. You see that, those two receives? Those are actually two different Greek words. The first Greek word means they were just there. They heard it. It's just literally just taking instruction, hearing instruction. So they were there. The second received carries a connotation as receiving it in order to retain it, to embrace it, to accept it, you see. Those are two different things. Yeah. Paul said that they not only heard the message, but they embraced it. Why did they embrace it? Because they recognized it for what it truly was, which was the Word of God. What Paul was giving them was the Word of God. And when you sit under biblical preaching, what you're getting is not a message from a man. You're getting a message from a man that's from God. He is delivering a message from God. And so the second step to be the Christian God wants you to be is to accept the preaching as God's word. Yeah. You need to accept the preaching as God's word and then be willing to change. Yeah. The preaching of the Word of God should be embraced as God's message and not man's message. Yeah. Just because you hear the preaching doesn't mean you truly embrace it. Do you know that? You can be sitting here and be in your place. And remember I told you about the pudding? And sometimes it looks really good. And you might be the pudding that looks really good. But maybe we put salt in instead of sugar. But nobody knows because you're the good pudding that's in your chair. And you can be, listen, you can be here because you want to keep your appearance. And you're here sitting, listening, but not really listening. You know what I'm talking about? You're here because you want to keep the pudding image. You see. And there, it is possible to be here and to not accept it. And so the first step, you can't accept it unless you're here. So yeah, that you're here is a good thing. But we need to shift our thinking when we're at the church, at the house of God, when we're under the preaching, that we need to accept this as what it truly is, the Word of God. It's not the message of men, but it's a message straight from God. And if you've been here for any amount of time, then you know that Pastor Moore isn't just giving his opinion about stuff. That's not what God, what pastor does. He studies. He gets the Word of God. He develops the Word of God. He studies it out, and he gets with God. He gets alone with God, and he finds out what it is that God has him to say to God's people. And if you've been here long enough, you know that's true. And so we need to accept it as the Word of God. He's not giving his own opinion any more than the Apostle Paul was giving his opinion. But Paul said, "You accepted my word as what it truly is, the Word of God." You have to be able to look past the fact that the sermon is coming from a pastor or from me or from somebody else who's preaching, and then receive the message for what it truly is, a message from God to you. I think sometimes we don't really want to change. And so we hear a message that's from the Bible, and because we don't really want to change, we start to think about the man who's given the message. And we might start to think, "I don't really care what he thinks. And he can say that all he wants, but I'm not doing that." We can't think that way. The sermons that come from this pulpit are from the Word of God. And we have to take it that way. We have to receive it and accept it, you see. Yeah. Accept it. Why? Because it's God's Word. I don't know anything. Pastor Moore wouldn't say he has all the answers of life. But he's preaching a book that does. And as he does, it's our responsibility to accept it for what it is, the Word of God. Okay, and the third one. 3 out of 3, here we are. I'm fast. Small bucket, Brother Tim. Believe it. Last one is believe it. Paul was thankful that the church of Thessalonica believed the preaching and allowed it to work in them. Look in the end of verse 13. He says this. Very last phrase. Also in you that, what's that word? Believe. You that believe. Not only were they there to hear the word, and not only did they accept the word as God's word and not Paul's, but they truly believed the word. And there are people that know, listen, sometimes we're there, we know it's from God, but we're not going to believe that. We don't want to believe that, you see. And there is a difference between knowing it's what God says and truly believing it. There's a lot of people who get saved weeks and weeks, weeks and weeks after they knew it was God's word. Why? Because they didn't really want to believe it yet, you see. These Thessalonians, they knew it was a message from God, and they were fully persuaded that God's way is best. And that's really what it means to believe. You know, the word believe is actually the exact same Greek word as faith. And so faith is a belief that means you're persuaded about it. You are convinced about it. And here's the thing, here's what they did. When they showed up to church, they showed up anticipating that this is going to be the Word of God, and whatever the Word of God says, I'm convinced, before I even get to church, I'm convinced that it's right. And that's important, because a lot of times when the Word of God is preached, our flesh is going to say it's not right. But we have to come to church with the mindset to say, whatever God says, I am fully persuaded that He is right, and I'm willing to change my opinion to match God's and not the other way around, you see. And so they have to believe it. You have to have faith. That's the last thing. They believed God's word. And so they were willing to deny anything they had ever learned and obey. Remember who these people are. They grew up worshiping like 25 different gods and really truly believing these gods existed. But whenever Paul brought the message and they heard the message, and they believe that is the true word of the really real living God. And so in order to believe what God said, they had to deny all their other gods. And that's what they did. They denied everything they've ever learned. And that was hard for them, but they did it. Why? Because they were convinced what God said was right. We need to be there. We need to get to the place. The Bible calls it like this, the fear of the Lord. That whenever what I think contradicts what God thinks, I'm going to go with what God thinks every single time. And so if you want to be the Christian God wants you to be. You have to believe His word. And I know that sounds like duh. It's not very duh. It's not very common. Sometimes we feel like we're doing good just because we're here. And it's not like we disagree, but we don't truly believe it. You know how I know we don't truly believe it? Because we don't do it. That's what James said, right? That faith always has works that follow. And if we don't follow through with what God says, what that really truly means is we don't actually believe this. If this is truly God's message and not our message, then this isn't a matter of debate, right? You shouldn't come to church ready to mentally debate pastor as he preaches. Well, I would never do that. I don't know. I think that at times we do. Because we get here, and again, and whenever, listen, whenever a pastor says something from the Word of God, and it goes against what we've always believed, we're ready to debate. We don't need to come ready to debate. We need to come with an open hand and saying, God, this is what I think, but you tell me if I'm wrong. That's where we need to be. That's where we need to be. What you hear from this pulpit is the message. I'm sorry, yeah. What you hear from this pulpit is the message that God has for you. And so we need to come to church. If we want to be the Christian God wants us to be, then we need to come to church ready to humbly receive God's word and ready to say, yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. And the teenagers probably know what I've just caught that. That's a song we sing every youth group. I'll say, yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. If they were listening, they caught that. I don't know if all of them did. That's what we need to be in our hearts. Listen, before we walk through those doors, you say, God, yes, Lord, yes. Already I'm saying yes to your will and your way. Whatever it is that you speak to me about, God, I will respond with a yes. That's hard to do sometimes, because our flesh doesn't always agree with what God said. But listen, if you want to be the Christian God wants you to be, then you're going to have to believe it. You're going to have to be here. You're going to have to accept it. And you're going to have to believe it if you're going to be the Christian God wants you to be. And Paul said that the reason he knew that they truly received the word of God was because they were still following it during persecution. And we can be the pudding that's on the shelf and look good, but the proof is in the persecution. And when Paul left this church in persecution. And I'm not going to, again, rehash all of the context, but he left, and Paul was a little bit nervous for this church because they were facing heavy persecution, and they were a young church, and he wasn't able to be there. And so he sent Timothy back to see, okay, is this church going to survive or not? And when Timothy came back, remember what Timothy told him? This church, not only is it doing fine, but it is really thriving in the midst of persecution. And Paul was pumped about that. He was excited about that. And when he was writing back to them, this passage, look what he says in verse 13. He says, for this cause also, thank we God without ceasing. He's really excited. He's thankful to God about this, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God. Now listen to this. Which effectively worketh also in you that believe. Now I want to point something out to you. He says, received, and then he says, worketh. Now I know this is old English, so let me explain. When there's an ETH at the end, it's the same as if we were to put an S there. And so it'd be like he said, you received the word, and it works in you. That means right now, as Paul is writing this letter, months down the road, here's what's happening. The word of God is still working in them. You know why? Because they heard it, and they accepted it, and they believed it, and the word of God was working in them constantly and helping them to get through the persecution they were facing for all of that time, and they were faithful. Paul said, I know that you actually truly did. I know that your pudding is actually tasting good. Why? Because you've gone through the persecution, and you are still there. That's what he said. It's awesome. So the word of God was constantly at work within those. It's who believed it. Here's what he says. It worketh also in you that believe. And so if you come with an attitude to really truly receive it and really believe what God says, then here's what the word of God will do. It'll work in you. It'll work in you. It'll work in you. And then when that hard time comes, you're ready. Because the word of God has been working in you. The reason Paul knew that the Word of God was working in them It's because they were still in church. This letter was read from the church house, and there they were, faithful. Paul said that the church at Thessalonica followed the example of the churches of Judea. In verse 14, we won't go back and read all of that, but in verse 14 he says, you became followers of the churches of God which are in Judea. Here's what happened. The churches at Judea were persecuting Christians. The Jews in Judea is the middle of Israel. And so there are Jews there, and the Jews hated the Christians, and the Jews were persecuting the Christians. And so Paul said that the church at Thessalonica, they suffered just like those churches in Judea suffered. The churches in Israel, when they were proclaiming the gospel, the Jews persecuted them, and they were faithful, and they kept living for God. And Paul is saying, look, this church in Thessalonica, you're doing the same thing. Now, it's not the Jews, but your own countrymen, the Thessalonians, are persecuting you, and you're doing the same thing. You're faithful. You're faithful, even during persecution. Paul said that the Jews killed Jesus. The Jews killed their own prophets. The Jews persecuted Paul's team. This is all in verse 15. And here's what Paul said, that the Jews were against God. Those in Judea that were persecuting them, they were against God, and they were against mankind. Why? Because they were hindering the gospel. The Jews were keeping the gospel from spreading. And this is, I think, a side note that they are bringing upon themselves punishment. Look in the verse 15. It says, in the end of verse 16, for the wrath has come upon them to the uttermost. And so the Jews who were persecuting the churches in Judea, those Jews, while they're persecuting the church, are going to be persecuted by God. God's against them. And it's just kind of a side note. Paul is helping them see, listen, you're in the same boat here, and you have to be there, and you're preaching the word of God, and these people are against you, but you're being faithful. And listen, God will take care of them. You don't need to try and persecute them back. You just keep preaching the gospel, and you're doing it. And he was excited. They're doing it. And they weren't doing all of that. And they weren't able to, listen, the church of Thessalonica wasn't able to just make it through the hard times because they were just really super special people. They didn't have some kind of gift from God that made them able to withstand pressure and stand for God. It's not like God gave them a specific courage that no one else can have. No, they actually didn't do anything special at all. Here's all they did. Here's all they did to make it through the hard times. Here's what they did. They heard the preaching. They accepted the preaching as the word of God. And they humbly believed the word of God. And here's what Paul says. Whenever you do that, he says the word of God effectively work in you. You know what that means? They're not doing it. And you might be saying, Brother Chad, I don't know if I can handle that. I don't know if I'll be able. What if this all comes? What if this is really going to all fall down in on me? I don't know if I'm going to be able to stand for God. Well, you don't need to worry about that right now. Here's all you need to worry about. Be in the preaching. Accept the preaching as the word of God and believe it. And hear the preaching and accept the preaching and believe it. And here's what will happen. The word of God will work in you. You don't have to muster this up on your own. Here's all you need to do. Hear the word. Accept the word as the word of God and believe it. And you just watch as the word of God begins to work in your life. You don't become the Christian God wants you to be by trying really, really hard. God never asked you to try to be a really good Christian. God never asked you to try to keep all the commandments all on your own. He never asked that. Here's what God wants you to do. Hear the preaching. Be at church. Accept the preaching as the word of God and believe the word of God. And if you do that, then his word will effectively work in you. Listen, God is not going to work in you if you don't want him to. But if you want God to work in your life, here's what you do. You come to church, you hear the preaching, and you believe it. And the word of God will begin to change you and will begin to give you that courage that you need and that boldness that you need, the confidence to live for God, even if other people don't like you. God will do that for you. The word of God will do that for you. God's word will effectively work. And I want you to know that it is more effective than you are. And you could pretend like you're something special and you're like, you know what, I don't care. I've always been pretty rough. I've always not cared what people think. And I can tell them, and I don't care what they think. Well, that's not going to last very long. Here's what you need to do. Humble yourself. Hear the preaching. Believe the Word of God. Accept it as the Word of God. And the Word of God will work in you. So the proof of the Christian is in the persecution. You know if you truly believe all of this. You know if you're not just here to have good-looking pudding. If you continue to live for God, when living for God becomes difficult. That's how you know. That's how you know. My hope is that you never have to face these decisions, but I want you to think about these. I'm going to ask some questions, and I want you to think about these questions honestly with yourself. No one else needs to know the answer to this, but I want you to think about it. Would you still live for God if it cost you your job? Would you? Hey, that's a real question. People are facing that right now, and I got to be fully honest, the way that our country is going, there's a lot of people that might lose their job if they live for God. Hey, if you speak out against homosexuality, you might lose your job. If you refuse to call him or her, it sounds funny, but you might lose your job. God calls him or her. No, he doesn't. God calls him and him, doesn't he? Amen. God created him and him. And we don't need to lie to keep our job, you see. But are you willing to stand for God to keep your job? Are you willing to not do certain things? If your boss asks you to lie and you say, I'm sorry, I'm not going to do that. Well, then you're fired. Okay, then I'm fired. Are you willing to do that? Will you still live for God if it costs you your friends? Your friends want you to go somewhere and you can't. You tell them, listen, I'm sorry, I can't. I love the Lord and I know God doesn't want me there. Can't do it. Will you be willing to do that? Because you might lose your friends. You know, you don't have to be weird to lose your friends. You don't have to, as a Christian, here's what God doesn't tell you to do. You're a Christian now, go dump all your friends. He doesn't tell you that. You just live for God and you watch as your friends just begin to peel off, and it will happen. Are you willing to do that? You live for God, you don't need to get in their face about it. You just yourself, you live for God, you do what God wants you to do. And I'm promising you this, there's a couple friends or maybe a lot of friends that are going to say, you know what, you're weird, I don't want to be around you anymore. Is that okay with you? Will you still live for God if it costs you your comfort? If you got to give up a Sunday morning service or a Sunday night service or a Wednesday night service, or if you got to give up some things to be here at Revival all week, or maybe there's something that you know God wants you to be involved in, maybe there's a work day or something, and if none of those things are like everybody has to be there, but maybe you know God wants you to be there to help, but you're going to have to give this up. Or you're going to have to get up early, or you're going to have to not go to this place that you were hoping you were able to go. Are you willing to live for God if it costs you your comforts? What if we didn't have comfy chairs? What if all we had were the metal chairs? Would you be here? And these are all questions like we need to ask ourselves. How serious are we about living for God? Are you willing to live for God if it costs you your family? It's a hard question. But if you're going to make some stands for God, what if you lose family members? Are you okay with that? Jesus said that that's going to happen, not necessarily every time, but there will be people who lose their family. That's why Jesus said, if you are not willing to hate your father, mother, brother, and sister, you're not worthy of me. Now, he doesn't want you to hate everything about them, but here's what he does want. He wants for him to be more important to you than your family. And is that practically okay with you? Can I let you in on a little secret? You actually have no idea how you would react in any of those situations I just told you. You have no, you can say, oh yeah, no problem. You really have no idea how you're going to react. And if it's up to you, you're going to fail. But if you want to make it through those hard times, if you want to let the Word of God effectively work in you, and if you want to be faithful to God and faithful to His Word until you die, don't worry about all those decisions too much. Here's what you need to worry about. Be in the preaching. Accept the preaching as the Word of God. Don't be debating whether or not this is true or not. This is the Word of God. And believe it. Be willing to change. And here's what Paul said, and under the inspiration of the Word of God, that the Word of God will effectively work in you. And He will give you what you need. And God will be there to help you make the right decision when it comes. If right now, you're faithful. Listen, if you're faithful before those hard times come, If you're faithful to the word of God, what do I mean by that? I mean, you're faithful to the house of God when the word is preached. When the doors are open, you're here. And not just be here, but ready to hear it, ready to receive it, be ready to hear from God, and be willing to deny and sacrifice anything that's about your life if it lines up with God. Now, I'm not telling you that God's going to tell you to give everything up, but what I am telling you is if he does, you need to be ready and willing. Right now, you be faithful to God. And then whenever the hard times come, you'll be able to be faithful to God. Hear the word, accept the word, believe the word, and you'll be able to make it through. God will bless. And Paul said, by the way, with joy, in chapter 1, that they did all of this with joy. Why? Because what matters to us needs to be him. And if we're right with God, and if we're where God wants us to be, and if we're doing what God wants us to do, it really doesn't matter what else is going on. Because that's what's that. Listen, this is what should matter to us. Are we faithful? Yeah. Be faithful now, you'll be faithful later. Let's pray. God, thank you so much. Thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for how it helps us to live for you. Lord, you know all the hard times that we go through. You know the challenges to our faith that we face. And each and every one of us have different struggles. But Lord, you know what they are. And Lord, you know we're weak, and you know we fail you. But Lord, help us to just trust your word. And Lord, help us to have faith that your word will work in us. Help us not to be worried or anxious about these hard times that come, but just be faithful now, knowing that you'll help us be faithful then. Lord, we love you. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Let's stand together.